truth.
Blog
Talk Radio. Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You hear that,
Bill?
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yep, that was good.
Here we go. Talking sports with the 12th man. We are officially here. On a Monday night,
yeah.
We are so excited.
Our
to
third show of 2017.
That's right. That's right. We were so excited to get the show started. We didn't even want to wait any longer. We had to kick this party off, man. So, of course, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I'm joined by my two co-hosts who hopefully aren't recording any Facebook Live stuff, whatever we told them not to. But we'll talk about that later, too, man. So,
you got to watch JQ when he get too much alcohol in him.
Man,
after how I get down, bro. No. No.
Might put us on blast.
No, sir.
that voice you hear, two voices here. Let's kick it off with my first co-host, JQ, who Rob was talking about. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm going to Rob to get off me, man. You know, I like to have a good time like everybody else, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I just want to ask the question, though. I just want to ask the question, and I find myself asking this for the past couple of MLK days. Who approved wall-to-wall NBA? Like, you know what? Martin Luther King had a dream. He had a dream that we could watch basketball all day long. Like, come on. Is that the best we can do is NBA all day long? I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. It just rankles me.
You don't like watching NBA on MLK Day?
Hey, man, if you're a basketball fan, you got to love it.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. It's just the association that, you know, the NBA has taken over MLK Day where they start like noon and they go to midnight like it's March Madness or something. So it's like, it's still Martin Luther King Day, right? Let's do something else besides watch basketball.
It's the MLK Basketball Madness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about this. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. But how you feeling? I'll let you go ahead and kick started off of that. You can piggyback on what JQ's talking about.
Oh, man, you know, doing great, ready to get this party started. We got a lot to talk about. Let's make it do what it do, baby, in the words of Ray Charles.
Yeah, Rob is in the zone. Rob is in the zone. He probably got some Frankie Beverly going back there.
If only I could sing it.
Get that happy feeling. Hey, I'm with you, Rob. I'm with you, Frankie.
You got some OJs going in the background, something like that.
Ooh,
I'm a Frankie Beverly fan now, so don't get me going with it.
We know. We already know. Good job, JQ, distracting him because we thought we were going to talk about what he ate tonight, man. So a way to pull that one off, man. So good job.
Mm-mm. Well, I'm in Angel Town, so if it was in New Orleans, it'd be a different story. So, but, you know, I'll be back in the Big Easy tomorrow, you know, having some Dini seafood. So,
you know,
if the show was tomorrow night, you would have had a nice story about what I ate.
It's gotcha. Always going to get in there. You don't ever have to pray. It's always going to get in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, America, this is what we do, man. We have a lot of fun with your boys. So, of course, today is Monday the 17th of January, or excuse me, the 16th of January. So let's get this party started here. So let's talk the numbers of the show. You know what? There's a note on Blog Talk that talks about, you know, literally January the 17th. I'm looking at this. I keep trying to click out of it. And it keeps popping up January 17th. So I was looking at that, and I looked at my – I was like, no, today's 16th. So that's what I was – genetically, I was thinking about that. But today is the 16th. Welcome with – it's all good. It's all good. Let's throw out some numbers you want to reach out to your boys. Call in the show. It's 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. We're on Twitter. If you go to the handle at the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that aspect. You also find us on Facebook. Once again, we're not recording this yet, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But you can find us on that if you go to facebook.com/ Talking Sports, the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this party off. Just right off the bat, let's talk about Antonio Brown. And I know JQ is very excited to talk about this. Did he actually embarrass Mike Tomlin about this, JQ? So, yeah, man, I know how you love Pittsburgh, man, so go hard, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is who he is. I mean, he produces, so when you can produce like that, you can get away with more stuff. But Mike Tomlin don't care. There's no love lost between Pittsburgh and New England. What he said is what he said, but he's got to be more worried about the NFL and being, you know, not being in compliance with the media policy, you know, by streaming that. So he's going to be a little lighter in the wallet. But that's who he is. I mean, it's, you know, to me, he reminds me a lot of Chad Johnson. If he doesn't do a whole lot of malicious stuff, he does a whole lot of silly antics, have fun kind of thing. And he does. I mean, Chad was great for us. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, there's a kind of talking where T.O. is in your face and flexing and cutting the fool, you know, and he's more jovial and, you know, just like a trickster kind of having fun, not kind of, you know, trying to disrespect somebody. So I don't think he really disrespected Mike Tomlin. That's who he is. I mean, I'm sure Mike Tomlin's going to be like, come on, man. This is the day you do it and you catch me say that about him, but that's not what I want, but they know how I feel. But come on, A.B., you got to do better. That's all it's going to be. You know, he might get a kangaroo court fine. The fine he's going to get is from the NFL for the media policy, but I don't think Mike Tomlin is sweating too much. They're playing for a trip to go to the Super Bowl. It's going to take a lot more than that to dampen that dude's spirits.
Come on, man. Robbie, all you, bro.
Just saying.
Well, I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, it could be used as bulletin board material for the Patriots, but, you know, the Patriots are going to be motivated to play this game, whether that video came out or not, and vice versa. I think the Steelers will be motivated to play this game, whether that video came out or not. So I think you're going to look at, you know, a very good football game. I'll save my prediction. We got another portion of the show for that. I know I have a tendency of giving away my predictions a little too early before. So I'll save my prediction of the game. But I think both of these teams will be motivated to play this game regardless if that video came out or not going forward. I think if there's anything that I didn't like about the video is that Mike Tomlin complaining about the disadvantage that his team may have. You know, even though it may be true, you know, I hate when people use
it.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
I said, but it is true.
Yeah, it is true. But I hate when players or coaches come out and, I mean, you're almost giving your team an excuse to lose the football game. So, I mean, I would not have made those comments, you know, even though you might be set at a disadvantage. And first and foremost, the Patriots earned the number one seed. So they do deserve some form of an advantage in this game. So, I mean, I wouldn't be using that as an excuse. Or you coming out with, you know, giving your team an out to possibly lose this game. I wouldn't have said that.
Okay, but just the flip side of it, Rob. The flip side of it, what if he's not using it as an excuse? What if he's using it as motivation? Like, look what they did to us. They gave these assholes another day and a half. We're going to go beat they you know what. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he could be using it as a different tactic, as a motivation tactic, and not so much as an excuse of they trying to stack the odds against us. Let's go out and show them what we made of. You know what I'm saying? So I hear what you're saying. But I think knowing him and how he gets them prepared, I think it's more of him trying to get them fired up of, you know, every coach wants to get a us against the world mentality, you know, if they can't really get it, they try to manufacture one. So that's what he's doing. He's manufacturing a reason to say they don't want us, you know, so let's go out here and show it to them. I think that's really what happened.
I think it's definitely going to be a good football game. Looking forward to it.
Agreed.
I know, and it's two of your favorite teams, so I know you're going to be tuned in, JQ.
I am rooting for a 0-0 tie to end in a snowstorm.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Hey, man, I'm not on StatFace or Insta Chat, man. I don't believe none of that.
Yeah, that is
the
best. Awesome. Bill Belichick wins. I'm not on StatFace. Yeah. I said, come on, Bill, you can't be that out of touch.
StatFace or Insta Chat.
Oh man. I truly believe he's that out of touch.
That's crazy. That was funny.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Let's keep moving here. So, you know, I was talking to a couple of my Cowboys fans, and I can't wait to talk about the future, if you will. And it is a little crazy. And Rob, you know, I'm gonna kind of kick it with you, man. Are the Cowboys fans losing their mind? That was a really great game. I don't think it had anything to do with the performance of the quarterback. And it was just a great game, man. So are they a little losing their minds? So I'm going to kick it to you, Rob.
I think they are a little bit. Obviously, there's a lot of disappointment. I mean, spending a lot of time here in this Houston area, which even though the Texans is the home team, there are a ton of Cowboy fans here in Houston. I mean, a ton. And I saw the tears flowing yesterday. I really did. And it was kind of good to see. I'm sorry.
He's laughing at folks like misfortune, America. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know we got a lot of listeners in here in the Texas area, but I'm sorry, but it was kind of good to see it. I hate the Cowgirls.
But
you know, I kind of, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, being from Louisiana, you know, I'm kind of torn, you know, kind of want to root for him, but just want to root for the Cowgirls to lose. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I think, you know, speaking to a lot of Cowgirls fans throughout the season, they thought they were destined to go to the Super Bowl. And obviously, so this is definitely a huge disappointing year for them. But, you know, I give credit where credit is due.
No.
I think the future looks bright for the Cowgirls. Prescott, Zeke Elliott, that offensive line, you get better a little bit more in defense. I think they still have a bright future. And, you know, I think they still have a lot to look forward to going forward here in the next few years.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
My bad. I thought you were done. You got to understand the disappointment. You know, you get excited, you know, and you get the first round bye, and you get the number one seed, and you know, and your rookies played well. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, they were in that game, so I could see them freaking out a little bit, because I think almost any fan base, you get the one seed and you lose like that, you're gonna freak out some. But to Rob's point, is that but you also have to feel good about it, because you finally have a succession plan from Tony Romo. It's there. You can really cut part ways with him, and you probably should. This offseason, he's not worth that kind of money. So when you look at the future of that team, like Rob said, you got a young O-line, you got a young quarterback, you got a young running back. Dez is not young, but he's not old, so you still got him. You might need another compliment, and at some point you got to replace Jason Witten. But you can spend most of your draft capital and some of your free agency money on the defensive side of the ball, and you get that side going with what they have on the offensive side of the ball, and they're going to be a load. And, I mean, I'm sure – I think Dak will regress a tad bit, because he's still a rookie, and, later in the year you get film on him. But, you know, once a team – they start to see you more and more, they get your tendencies about what you want to do. He's got to progress and take more shots down the field to Dez and not be so dependent on just the run game and the underneath stuff. I was – you know, just to finish, I was disappointed in Joe Buck and Troy Aikman if you were listening to it, when they got down 21-3 and they were kind of struggling trying to get back in it, talking about, you know, you got Tony Romo sitting over there. I was like, come on, man, don't do that. Don't do that to Dak, man, because what if he'd have came back and won that game? Now you introduce that, or, you know, even for maybe into next year, like, don't do that, young man, like that. They lost by a field goal as time ran out. He did everything he could possibly do in that game just about. I mean, I didn't really like that. I thought that was pretty cheap.
Yeah, I agree. It was good call that too. And like I said too, talked to a couple of Cowboys fans, as Rob mentioned. I mean, I know in spite of folks crying, it was pretty emotional, because I mean, I think the way the game was played, he was kind of laughing. That was funny. But the way the game was played, like I said, it wasn't a typical. I know this is going to sound weird. It wasn't a typical Cowboys loss, because it wasn't from any like dumb, stupid like mistakes. I mean, it was. You know, Dak made one interception, but they were able to overcome that. Other than that, it was a well-played game. I mean, you know, it was a championship game. Somebody just made a better throw at the end, and it came down to a field goal, man. So, like you said, if you're the Cowboys, I mean, I know it hurts, but at least it wasn't like you got blown out. I mean, you thought that they were going to play like rookies, and they have stepped up, and I know that's probably enough Cowboy talk for Robert. But, you know, just kind of something to think about, too. We'll continue on. I know we got to talk about the future, because there's an interesting comment about Jason Garrett's not talking about who the starting quarterback is. We'll talk about that as well. Yep. So, gentlemen, let's take a break here. We got about we're making good progress here. Let's talk about some more NFL mock draft coverage, because more of these positions are getting solidified. So, Rob, you got the floor again, sir.
All right. I mean, I hadn't really made any recent changes. I'm going to kind of wait till the playoffs kind of play itself off and see where some of these draft positions are going. But, you know, I'll just comment a little bit on Leonard Fournette a little bit. There's starting to be some talk about him moving back up into the top five here a little bit in the draft. I still have him at number eight, going to the Carolina Panthers, a team I don't want to see him go to. But I know they're a team that's very much high on him. Another guy, Jamal Adams, safety, LSU, 7 to San Diego. Derek Burnett is another guy that's having gone number 4 to Jacksonville. He's 6'3", 265 pounds. After Myles Garrett, maybe one of the top pass rushers in the draft. Now, Tim Williams is the one that's kind of looked like he's going to be falling a little bit. I've dropped him all the way down to number 23, outside linebacker from Alabama. The rumor report has it that he's failed several drug tests, so he could fall even more, completely out of the first round. And, talking about a guy with a tremendous talent, you might be seeing Randy Gregory all over again here with Tim Gregory. So he may, like I said, be falling completely out of the first round. So those are just a few comments, just a few thoughts. Dalvin Cook, I have him going number 14 to Indianapolis. Frank Gore, I think you started to see a lot of his age. I think Andrew Luck really used the leap back, and this could really ignite that team and that offense even to another level as well, if he can get another player like that behind him in the backfield.
Whew. Yeah, just don't have them hanging out with Robert and Pac-Man Jones. Just a little quick note about that too. But go ahead, JQ, man, about your any thoughts you want to talk about what Robert talked about there for the mock draft coverage, sir?
Well, I don't have it in front of me. Do you have yours in front of you, Rob? Who do you have Cincinnati going to at 9?
I have them at the moment going Cam Robinson, offensive tackle, Alabama.
I can go with that because the offensive line is awful. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, the Bengals have so many needs that, I would love Dalvin Cook as well. Him and Andrew Luck would just be – it would be exactly what I think they need if they can get a little bit more offensive line help to overcome the Texans in that division. And all the other ones, I mean, I didn't hear that about Tim Williams, but I'm not overly surprised. But we need in the trenches, I would love for Burnett to also fall. I think he's solid, just being overshadowed by – Garrett at Texas A&M. Those are pretty solid picks there. All those are good quality picks where they are, the teams that have a need for that position. So, good job, Rob.
And I think, a couple other notes. Solomon Thomas, defensive end for Stanford. I think he's a guy that can really eventually move up in the top 10. I am going 17 to Washington, so he could be a riser in this draft as well. I have Andre's Dirty Birds right now taking Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle from Wisconsin. So, obviously, it's still early, but it's still a little fun to talk about. There's going to be a lot of moving and shaking until we get to the draft.
If Solomon
and free agency is
going to
play a big part of what happens in the first round, too.
Hey, is Solomon the dude that just wrecked North Carolina in that bowl game? Like, he was just killing
Yes, Solomon Thomas.
Yep, that was him.
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That dude made him some money. He made some money in that bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Some bowl.
So, and Rob, speaking of that, let's talk about this. So, really quickly, so in the mock drafts, what are you noticing? Is this a deeper draft for pass rushers, defensive tackles? I mean, I know we talked about it's not really a draft for franchise quarterbacks. What would you say is probably the deepest position in the draft so far?
I would say offensive tackles is not very top-heavy like it's been in the past. I have Cam Robinson going number 9 right now, but this could be the first time in a long time we could have a top-10 draft without an offensive tackle, which we know offensive tackle is the four most important positions in football is quarterback, who's protecting the quarterback, defensive end rushing the quarterback, in the corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the four most important positions in football. And so this might be the first time in a long time. Right now I have Cam in the top 10, but he could really be somewhere in the 11 to 15 range. It could be the first time in a long time we don't have a left tackle in the top 10 in the draft. So that particular position is not as strong as it has been in the past. But, you hit the nail on it. I mean, defensive lineman, I think, is going to be a pretty deep draft. Not necessarily pass rushers, but the tweeners, the guys that can play that defensive tackle, defensive end, and the 3-4. I think you're going to have a lot of quality guys that in that particular defense. that's pretty versatile. I'm talking about the guys like Malik McDowell from Michigan State, Taco Charlton from Michigan. Be a lot of those kind of guys. Caleb Brantley from Florida. So you're going to have a lot of those kind of guys too. That could, you know, and that 3-4 defense could play that nose as well as move out to the defensive end in a 3-4.
Love it. Any other comments you got for that, JQ?
No, that was all pretty solid.
Awesome. Good deal. All right, so let's kind of take a move here. Let's talk about, we were kind of talking really briefly about this, but an interesting note in that Jason Garrett won't say that Dak Prescott is the starting QB going forward. I think, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and JQ, you're going to get the first crack at this, sir. Because I'm curious, because you mentioned it earlier about, you know, Tony Romo may not be there next year. I'm thinking that too. Let's think about, you know, I'll let you kind of comment on that. I want to think about some interesting scenarios, because also we found out, you know, all the, there's like one head coaching position that's open right now. And I think we're starting to kind of get, the dust is going to settle, and who's going to kind of figure out what's going to happen as far as in the draft, like we talked. So if you are, say, a Cleveland, is that a possible destination spot for Romo? Or maybe it's right down the street with, you know, with Houston. I mean, let's talk about that as well, because, you know, that's another option, because, you know, just kind of throwing that out there, if Cleveland gets Romo, then you can really focus on, oh, I'm getting the best player available. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just saying, you know, or, you know, this is wishful thinking, obviously, but, you know, then you can focus on, you know, like talk about Leonard Fournette or something like that, or Myles Garrett, whatever. But, you know, if it's Houston, that's a whole other scenario, because then you automatically create an instant rivalry right there, you know, between State and, you know, Houston's got weapons. You know, they got a pretty good defense. So this could be kind of a good fit. You're already in, you know, in Texas, so this may work out. But I'm just throwing those ideas out there because it seems like right now Jason didn't say anything because he didn't want to, like, you know, I know it's probably too soon, but it also could be, you know, hey, you know, we're trying to figure out what's happening to Romo, but I'm going to let you have the first crack at that, sir.
I think that's just ridiculous. That dude just got you the one seed, and we talked about it. He wasn't the reason why you lost that game. When you know he's sitting there hurting in that locker room and they just lost that game and everything he's done, you don't do that to him if you're Jason Garrett. And I don't like what Troy – and it was Troy Aikman that did it in the booth. I think that's ridiculous, personally. And when you talk about money, you talk about salary cap and having to fit, you know, you got to start paying some of those tackles that come off those rookie deals in the offensive line. You can't tie that kind of money up in Tony Romo when you got Dak on a rookie contract. Just fiscally it doesn't make sense given, you know, what Dak has shown that he can do. I hate that he just didn't give him that seal of approval. Once Romo came out and said, you know, he deserved to be the quarterback of the team, I think that was pretty much it, and he understood it, that he was probably leaving. To Cleveland, I think Tony Romo would retire the same day, very very standard style, and just fax it into a newspaper, like, look, I'm done. I'm not playing for Cleveland, bro. You think I got beat up in Dallas? What's going to happen in Cleveland, man? Yeah, right. And then you talk about Houston. It's a good call. I think Houston, and then there's another one there in Denver that I think are with pretty good defenses. Both have weapons on the outside. Denver's running game is still a little in question, but, you know, you still got Lamar Miller if you're in Houston. That's a very, very, very reasonable spot you could go to, because I've read that the Texans were even willing to eat that money right now on Brock Osweiler. That's how dumb they are with him. Truly. And then a dark horse, I don't know if he'll do it and go to Brett Favre route, but, you know, you go to New York and go to the Jets. Yeah, you still got Decker and Marshall on the outside, Forte and Powell on the backfield. They need a tight end. And they need I'm sorry, getting to the other piece of it. They need a secondary, but they still aren't that far down where you can see them bounce back better with a steady quarterback. So those are the three for me. I just can't see him wanting to stick around for a 5-year rebuild in Cleveland. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was just throwing out some ideas, but, you know, I'm with you. I totally agree. And Rob, yeah, bro, let's kind of kick this to you, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of common on what JQ said. And there's some teams that are, you know, probably maybe one quarterback away, man, whether you're thinking of that or whether you're thinking of a Buffalo. Like you said, New York was a great call. So, yeah, man, the floor is yours, Rob.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to first start off with Jason Garrett's comments about not committing to Dak Prescott as a starting quarterback going forward. If you're Jason Garrett, or Jerry Jones. If you're thinking about Romo or any other quarterback starting over Dak Prescott, I'm going to say stay off the cocaine. Stay off the weed.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yes.
Yeah,
because Dak Prescott is your starting quarterback going forward. I mean, let's not fool anyone. When the last time Tony Romo has been healthy for a full season? I mean, I may be wrong, but it's got to be, seemed like at least 3 to 5 years since he's gone through a whole season completely healthy. So you cannot rely on Tony Romo being your guy going forward. Dak Prescott is your starting quarterback. He's going to give you the best opportunity to win long term. If you're going to, even if you're another team that's in need of a quarterback, if you want Tony Romo, I wouldn't even give up much for him. And the simple reason is, I mean, the guy has not even proven to be healthy. I mean, these have been some serious injuries Romo's had to deal with these last 3 to 4 years. You're talking about neck and back injuries. I mean, at the most, he might come in and help you for a game or two, and you might be back in the same situation he's been in, unfortunately. I personally think the dude should retire. That's just my personal opinion. If any team is going to trade for Tony Romo, I wouldn't give up more than a 7th-round draft pick for him. And that's it.
Oh, wow.
7th-round draft pick. You're talking about the guy is knocking on 40 and he hasn't been healthy for 3 to 4 years. I mean, is it worth the risk? A 7th-round risk. That's it.
I wouldn't even trade for him because you're trading for that massive cap hit that Dallas is trying to get rid of. I would wait Dallas out and see if they cut
him
and
you
get him
be right.
Cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to say, bro? That's it?
That's it.
Nothing else about. So you
get
think
to the point.
You know, you don't think he's going to have a miraculous comeback like Sam Bradford, huh? You know, because Sam Bradford had that little stigma as far as being injury prone, and he's still, I mean, you know, sort of, he got to.
He was knocking on
much younger.
Yeah, much younger.
I'm just throwing out, because still there was a point whenever you're like, this dude keeps getting hurt, man. So, you know, eventually it was happening from there. But fair enough. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of curious about that, you know, because maybe some time off did do him good. But if you're kind of like right there, you probably just like one or two pieces away. You know, like you said, you know, talking about Houston, that's a good call. You know, a team that's got a pretty good defense, Denver and/or the Jets. You're kind of right there. We're there, and Rob, you're also in Houston right about now. This is pretty interesting about both coaches not committing to the quarterbacks, and now you're also hearing that Bill O'Brien is not ready to name Brock Osweiler as starting quarterback. That's a huge surprise. So, yeah, the reason why he's probably naming Brock is because he's other things in the works. So, go ahead, bro. Did Tom Savage impress him that much, or is there a play for your boy as well? So, go ahead.
Well, this one I agree with the coach on. I mean, I don't agree with Jason Garrett making that comment. But this one I agree with the coach. I mean, are you going to give Osweiler a chance to come in and compete? Yes. Are you going to give Savage an opportunity to come in and compete? Yes. And you might even want to consider getting somebody else in there to come in and compete. And so I would say from a Houston, Texas standpoint, you can't commit to Osweiler at this point. He hadn't shown you enough to where he can be that guy or he's going to be your long-term answer at the quarterback position. I mean, I saw him. I was watching that game the other night. I know you're going against the Patriots. I didn't expect him to compete in that game. The Texas defense kept him in the game the first half. I mean, they were putting some nice pressure on Tom Brady. Really kept him in the game. But Osweiler's throws are very erratic. I mean, they're high, they're low, they're all over the place. I mean, he can't throw it in the ocean. And and he's 6'7", can see over the defenses. And you cannot commit to him right now. I mean, do you give him another chance to come in and compete? Yes, but in this particular case, I have to agree with Bill O'Brien. Okay, I can't commit to him as my quarterback for next season just yet.
It's my quarterback, Rob. It's my quarterback. Thank you.
Yeah. And the thing is, I agree with all that. And there's another wrinkle to it as well is that he has to keep that locker room, right? So you got guys that are killing themselves, competing, trying to make that 53 every Sunday, and they seeing him – suck it up. But they know he's got big money tied to it. So they're looking at the staff like, okay, are you playing him because of dollars? Are you playing him because of he's the best opportunity for us to win? And if you don't do the right thing as the coach, you can splinter that locker room, especially with that defense playing so well and playing good enough for them to win games and having him lose games for them. That's how you get a defense versus offensive thing happening in the locker room, by committing to him solely based on the contract that he was signed to, and you feel like you have to play him because you paid him that kind of money. So that's another element you got to keep your eye on there, is that locker room. And I think Rob's absolutely correct. He can't say that for risk of losing it for next year already, you know, when they just started their offseason. He can't do that.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good call. So we're excited about that, too, because it's been an interesting season for the Texans, because going into the year, I did not expect them to kind of have the end, which is, you know, what we talk about. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, man. So good call. Brock has been a huge disappointment, you know, for the Texans. So I want to monitor how this actually goes into the offseason, because there's going to be definitely interesting movement as far as what's happening with that. And also, don't worry, Cowboys fans, you still got Mark Sanchez as your backup if something happens to Tony Romo. So just keep that in mind as well. I know you're excited about that too.
They're going to keep him, though, because that's homeboy. Did you read that article? That's his homeboy. So they're going to keep him on the team to keep Dak happy, which is crazy. That's the only reason why Sanchez is going to stay on that team, is because for whatever reason, he and Mark are homeboys.
Yep.
And you want to keep the quarterback happy.
That's right. Notice that Romo ain't homeboys with him, but that's holding the conversation. All right. Let's keep this going here. Rob, who had a better rookie season, Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson?
This was an interesting question, but I would have to say Dak Prescott. From a rookie season, low number of turnovers. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys record, 13-3, I would give him the edge over Russell Westbrook. You're talking about guys that were both middle round quarterbacks that have performed. Obviously, Russell has done it a lot longer, and he's won a Super Bowl than Dak. But they both have overachieved based on where their draft position was. And so it's a very intriguing question, but I would give if you base it on just pure rookie seasons, I would say Dak Prescott's rookie season, along with his team and what they've done in his rookie season, I would have to give him the edge on having a better rookie season.
Go ahead, JQ.
Hey, man, I didn't know Russell Westbrook was also honeymooning as a quarterback.
Oh, Russell Wilson, my bad. You know, Russell Westbrook just going off with all these triple-doubles, so you know.
I'm messing with you. I know what you mean. But I agree with you. And the other piece of that is Russell didn't have nearly the set of drama that Dak has had to deal with. He's had Tony Romo hanging over his shoulder all year long, and you can't underestimate that effect on a rookie playing in Dallas, when Tony Romo is loved, you know, even though he can't stay healthy, but he's loved in Dallas, and you keeping him on the sideline, you know, while he gets healthy, and they're not rushing him because you're doing this, but you got to keep doing this to keep him on the sideline. That's a lot. And play these defenses, that's a lot for a rookie quarterback. And like you said, that record, earning the number one seed, getting the bye, you know, they just ran into Aaron. I mean, it happens. He does that to people. That's what he does. That's why he's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not really, you know, following him too much. I mean, it's tough for him, but his rookie year has been phenomenal. He's had a lot of help, don't get me wrong, but he also hasn't messed it up, and he's made plays with his arm and his legs, you know, so I give him the nod as well.
Wow, okay. So you're both going to give it to Dak Prescott is what it sounds like here. Is that correct for both you guys?
Yes.
Thinking about that? Wow.
Yep.
So, an interesting, Sarah. You know, it's pretty interesting because did you look up the stats, Rob, for both of them, or are you just kind of just going off of just as far as just as the record and the team? In other words, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think you looked at the stats too.
And it's cool because, like I said, I was just curious because you know, I'm just asking because you know, it's exactly correct because both of you know, you look at it and you said it's CJQ because it looked like. You know, Dak had a better team around him in that particular instance, too. I know I was reading it, you know, talk about Wilson. He was selected in the 12th pick, third round. He tied the rookie record for the most passing touchdowns by a rookie. You know, that actually tied Peyton Manning's record, which is pretty crazy if you think about that. So,
wait, 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 wait.
Yeah.
Did you say Dak had more? Did Dak have more weapons? No, no. I'm going back to you. Did you say Dak had a better team around him? Because if Russell Wilson had Marshawn Lynch in that defense, I don't know if I can say that.
Hold the thought. Now, weapons, right? Now, you had Marshawn. I don't think Russell had the wide receiver weapons like a Dez Bryant at the time. Or, you know, obviously we're talking about you can go back and forth with Williams or not and Cole Beasley. But, you know, Ezekiel.
But they made up for it
for
defense.
That, too. Yeah.
But
I mean,
you
like
say the running backs cancel out.
Yeah,
the running backs cancel out. But the defense
stronger,
makes up for having
line. Yeah. Good. Let's finish this up.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know if I can make that statement definitively. You might be right, so don't get me wrong. I just can't. I don't know if I can make that statement definitively. I was like, I don't know. That Seattle team we had was still pretty good. I'm just going to put
When you compare their stats in their rookie season, for the most part, Dak's stats was still better. Dak had fewer INTs. He had more passing yards. I think Russell had him beat on touchdown passes, and that might be the only one I think where Russell had more than Dak, but Dak had few INTs and Dak had more passing yards. He just didn't have as many passing TDs as Russell did.
It's not enough.
But Russell had to do
I'm
it.
I'm just talking to you. Yeah.
No,
go
I get
ahead,
it.
JQ, I'm sorry.
And it's also different. It's just different offensive game plans too. That Seattle team was also predicated off of running Marshawn Lynch and playing sound defense and not asking Russell to do a whole lot. Where Dak, that's why I said, you know, you could still give him the nod. Dak had to do more, and he did. You know what I mean? They asked him to throw the ball more because that defense was not elite like Seattle's defense was. So, agreed. I just don't know if I can definitively say that, but I still would say Dak had the better rookie year, though.
Fair enough. Better overall record as well from that perspective, too. And like you said, there's – it's kind of like you're doing apples and oranges, but I was just kind of curious if you look at the stats too, because I was looking at it too. I was like, wow, I didn't realize that he was kind of in the same thing time. You know, Peyton Manning, that was a pretty impressive thing. That mentioned that he had a, you know, he was better than Dak, but it was, I was kind of looking at the stats and like, wow, that's kind of interesting that perspective. Great call. Yes, Wilson had a better defense. He had Marshawn. I mean, that's a huge advantage. You know, Dak, you know, he obviously had a better offensive line. He's still making plays too. So both of them are pretty impressive. For where they were drafted at and how tall they are, because I'm sure they're not the typical 6'5", you know, quarterback, if you will, too. So it wasn't a knock by any means. It was kind of interesting to see how the stats played out, too. So that's me as well. All right, guys, we're having fun. I apologize for going down that route. We're ready to go.
Oh, no,
about 7 minutes
talk.
Here.
Oh,
good
yeah.
Good talk. Let's talk about we got about 7 minutes. Hopefully we can fit all this in because we're going to talk about some off-season needs. I definitely want to get into the championship predictions because I think we're going to take a lot of time in discussing the needs for each of these teams too. So can we talk about the predictions as far as that and get ready to do some fantasy shout-outs and kind of leave the rest of the time to talk about some off-season needs that fits more for you guys. So let's talk about it. Championship Sunday predictions. I have a feeling that you guys are both going Packers, which is totally fine. I get it for that. So, you know, we'll let you guys kind of go from that. And, JQ, you got the first crack as far as your predictions for Championship Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, I stated when we started this playoff talks about who I thought was going to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC, and I said Green Bay. And they're playing in the championship, so I'm not going to go away from that. And no disrespect, I think this is going to be a fantastic game. It might be 42-38 or something really ignorant at the Georgia Dome on Sunday. So I just can't. No, and he's hearing the noise with Matt Ryan. And I think Matt Ryan should be the MVP. Don't get me wrong. But you don't think for a second that Aaron Rodgers doesn't hear that noise, right, and say, yeah, okay, let me come down here. We lost the last time by a point. I still feel like we can move on this defense. So I got to go with Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay.
Rob Ford.
This is tough for me because – obviously, I picked Green Bay before the playoffs started, too. And as much as I want the Atlanta Falcons to lose, I was excited about seeing Dallas lose, but I will even be more excited to see the Atlanta Falcons lose this coming week. And I ain't going to even lie. I'm going to be happy to see the Falcons fans crying if they lose. I'm sorry, Andre. So I'm just going to go out and say it. But I've kind of changed my feelings on this game. I think Atlanta's offense right now is just lighting people up. and they're scoring at will against a. I know Seattle don't have Earl Thomas, but that's still a formidable defense they win against. I've kind of changed my feelings on this, and I actually think Atlanta's going to win the game. I think they're going to win in the shootout. I'm thinking like 38 to 35. But I'm hoping and praying that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers find a way to win this game. But I have actually changed my prediction to the Falcons to win at home.
That hurt him.
Yeah, that was I give Robert a lot of credit, because I know we go back and forth a lot of times too, and it's fun. Yeah, you know, I gotta admit, going forward, I'll be the first. I know I kind of text you guys. I ain't scared, and in the back of me, I'm like, yeah, this is a scary game for sure, because Aaron Rodgers is really hot. So you know, it does feel like whoever has the ball last, you know, it's gonna pull it off. But it's gonna be a great game. I think we have enough firepower. I'm scared as far as stopping them, so we gotta get a mistake in there somehow, some way. And I had a feeling this was gonna happen, because, you know, you talk about getting that monkey off your back, because the last couple of years, Green Bay has been the team that's knocked us out. So I knew it had to be them, if you will, for us to kind of prove that we can overcome that. So that's why I figured it was going to happen. And if we got to take down Aaron Rodgers, so there will be no, you know, if it was Aaron, I wouldn't want. It's kind of like you got to play who's going to play. So that's kind of where I'm at. Not that I'm happy. It's going to be a tough game no matter whatever team we had too. So that's that from there. We're still on the same page as far as thinking that the Patriots are going to knock out the Steelers. Is that correct, guys? Is that what you're feeling, Rob, as well, sir?
I'm still going with New England, and I know I picked it back in preseason. I picked Pittsburgh to go to the Super Bowl, but before the playoffs started, I picked New England, and I still feel like it's going to be New England. I think offensively, I think Pittsburgh is just more talented, but I just think New England is a better all-around team. And I think Brady and Belichick would just push the right buttons overall. I think the Patriots have a complete coaching staff. No knock on Tomlin and the Steelers, but I just think the Patriots coaching staff is a little bit stronger. And I think the team overall is a little bit stronger. So I like the Patriots in this game. I like for them to win by the touchdown. I'm going somewhere in the 30 to 23 range. On what the final score of this game is going to be. So I know I went, like I said, before the playoffs started, I was thinking New England and Green Bay, but I'm going to say New England and the Falcons in Houston.
Go ahead, JQ.
And just as much as it just pains Rob to say all those things about Atlanta, it pains me as much, if not even more, to say that I think the Pittsburgh is going to go into Foxborough. I'm going with the road teams, both games.
Oh, wow.
I think Pittsburgh and the Killer Bees go into in Foxborough, and I believe they win. That defense is playing real nasty right now. And I told you last time, and I hate to talk good about them, but right before Aaron Rodgers made his, you know, decree of, you know, we can run the table, Pittsburgh had already started running the table. And they have won, I believe, 8 in a row now. And we talk about how high Aaron Rodgers is playing. The Steelers are playing incredibly high as well. And I think they find a way with the Killer Bees and a sneakier, better defense than you think they have, and they find a way to win.
Yeah, that was a good game too. I got to admit, versus the Chiefs and the Steelers, and that was kind of a controversial call near the end for whatever you say. That was a lot closer than expected. I thought that the Steelers were going to go in there and kind of, you know, not have their way with them, but have a little bit, put a little more points. So you got to give, you know, the Chiefs a lot of credit for you know, a great game plan against a pretty tough opponent too. So anyway, that's what we're all. Before we talk about that, Rob, we got about a minute 30 to talk about. So okay, let's go ahead and get ready to get to the OT portion, and we'll get ready to talk about offseason needs and go from there.
All right, thank you all for tuning into our show again. I know we got a lot of listeners in Texas and Georgia, and I hate both of y'all teams, the Cowboys and the Falcons. But I still appreciate you all tuning into the show and continuing into the show. Make sure you continue to write us on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll be back on next week. We'll be on Tuesday night, so we're going to get a little bit more rest. Tonight we're going on 3 days rest. We're going on the pitcher's playoff performance. But we're going to have a full week's rest and go on Tuesday night. We'll get your recap for the Super Bowl and going forward here. We're getting close to college football signing day, so that's going to be big. So we'll get you ready for that here coming up here in the early part of February as well. So you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. For our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m.
Aloha.
Hawaiian time. Aloha. Make sure you tune in on next week. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, but if you click on the same link on tomorrow, we'll have this show ready for you. We still have more football, more basketball that we're going to cover here in the OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I can't say stay classy San Diego no more with them being gone. And shout out to Rob for totally destroying both of those teams and then saying thank you for listening to the show. That's what you think about them, Rob.
Oh, I love it.
How about y'all good people next week?
Hey, you still got the Padres of San Diego, bro.
Robbie, isn't Rob trying to give like all these backhanded compliments all the time, man? I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. By the way, man, all the cool things all the time, man. By the
you
way,
suck.
You know, listen
Thank
to my
you.
Show.
I love
crying.
You.
Oh, man.
Come back, listen to the show. Man.
I'm going
to
love your
good
tears.
Crocodile tears over here. Man, I'm actually excited about this. So we didn't get a chance to do the fantasy shout-out, so I always like to get that at least live, but we'll talk about it a little later. I guess, Rob, do the fantasy shout-outs really quickly, and then we'll get into the off-season needs for a couple of teams here. So go ahead and do that really quickly, sir.
All right, fantasy shout-outs. Yours truly and my team, the Orleans Buck Jumpers, with a 7-1 victory over the Madhouse on Madison, and also – Saints Pelicans 23. Ronald from New Orleans also had a 7-1 victory over Anthony Davis, the new number 23. Those are the two biggest wins of the week. And yours truly's team, New Orleans Buck Jumper, still holding on to first place with 71 wins, I believe, last time I checked. 71, 23, and 1. Those are your fantasy shout outs. Still got a lot of basketball to go, so I got to keep it going.
Yes, you do.
Good call. Let's talk about this. This is great. Good job, Rob. Rob, he's trying real hard, JQ. He's got to get one win for us, man. So I'm not gonna press him too hard.
He know why I'm messing with him. It's me and Aaron. Me and Aaron are nipping at his heels. He ain't running away with it, America. So don't think he's running away with it. I give him credit where credit is due. He's standing number one, but we stand there with him. He got one bad week off of saying somebody else's name.
I got to keep it going. I think
good
so
call,
far this
call.
Week I got a 6-1 or 7-0 lead too.
He's trying to put all his marbles in there. All right, let's talk about this. We're having some good times here. This is a great call. Let's talk about some off-season needs for a couple of teams here. And first and foremost, let's kick it off with the New York Jets. Jets. I'm gonna let you kick us off to JQ. Your thoughts as far as offensive needs. Rob, stay tuned, man. So go ahead, JQ.
Well, I touched on it earlier when you talked about Tony Romo. They need a quarterback, and I think that's everybody understands that they need a quarterback. They have weapons, and like I said, I talked about it earlier in the show. They got to fix that secondary though, and Todd Bowles being one of his calling cards of blitzing out of that secondary and creating havoc. He's got to fix that secondary. You can no longer count on Revis. He's done. He might be a safety next year.
Revis Island is over.
It's over. It's a wrap. It's over. They need a secondary, and they're gonna have to re-sign some of their defensive line free agents. But they're not that far off. They need to make some moves though, and get that secondary shored up. But they gotta get a quarterback, and that's what half the league is saying. We need a quarterback, but that's what I see for the Jets. Mm.
The Geno Smith era is over in New York. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, JQ touched on it. I mean, quarterback, and quarterback again. I mean, that's got to be the top of their offseason needs. They desperately need a quarterback on this football team. And I totally agree with JQ. That secondary, especially at the cornerback position, they were getting torched. I think front seven-wise, especially the front four, are still very good defensively. But they've got to fix that secondary, particularly the cornerback position.
Rob. JQ, you both got to this. Is it a veteran quarterback, rookie quarterback? What's the option for the Jets?
Well, obviously, if you think you can find somebody in free agency or a trade, I mean, that's going to be before the draft, so you got to weigh your options there first. But if you don't find that guy in the free agency or the trade, You might just find a journeyman that can come in and compete. But mm-hmm. you know, and that's all you get. Obviously, it's very hard to get a franchise quarterback in free agency or via trade, because if a team has a franchise quarterback, 9 times out of 10, they want to keep them. So, I mean, obviously the easiest way to get one will be to draft. I mean, right now I haven't taken Mitch Trubisky, QB from North Carolina, at the sixth position. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, that's definitely got to be their number one need going into this offseason. There's no doubt about it.
They better hope to try to try to find somebody in the third or fourth round. Like, that seems to be like the gold mine for getting quarterbacks, man. I don't know. They just, you know, I don't know. Let's talk about the San Diego Chargers, man, and JQ, another one. It sucks, man, because they are just going ham about losing the team, which we talked about last week. So, you know, they seem to be solidified with Phillip Rivers, obviously. What are your predictions as far as their offseason needs as well, sir?
They got to get healthy. And I think they got to get offensive line healthy. Offensive line still needs some help. But they got to get Gordon back healthy. They got to get Keenan back healthy. And on the other side of the ball, you look at Ingram and Bosa. Those are two very good pass edge rushers. Their defense wasn't necessarily terrible. They went down defense-wise when Casey Hayward got hurt, who was really becoming into a really good cornerback for them. So all the things we talked about before with other teams, they aren't terribly off. You look at a lot of times, like they beat Atlanta. They are in a lot of games and win or lose late in the fourth quarter. They're a team that could have had a better record if they could close out some games. It's just that piece of it, I think, for them is they have to stay healthy. They keep getting hurt. Danny Woodhead as well. You know, they got to get healthy. And if they get healthy with some pieces they have, they could be really sneaky. They might be that team next year going into it. You look at, depending on what they do in the draft, they're on the cusp and they added, you know, A, B, and C in free agency or through the draft. You're like, okay, they might be who we thought, you know, Tennessee or Jacksonville was going to be this year, or Oakland that was going to rise up from a bad year to a good year. They could be that team next year.
Mm. Go ahead, Rob.
I think the help Phillip Rivers here, I think you want to get another weapon throwing a football, mm-hmm. particularly probably from the wide receiver position. That could be something that could be useful. They need to improve the interior offensive line a little bit here as well, so they got to get better in that area. And, you know, you're talking guard and center position. That's something you can attack in the draft in the mid-rounds. It's easy. At those positions, you can find a starter second, third, fourth round. So that might be easy fix for them if they can find the right person there. Or even in free agency, as you saw the Falcons deal with Alex Mack this past offseason. So, I mean, that's something that that could possibly be an easy fix. They need some help in the secondary as well, both corner and safety. So that's something they'll have to get fixed as well this offseason. Right now I have them having strong safety from LSU, Jamal Adams, who'll be effective in the box and could even play some free safety too.
NFC South, our Panthers, Rob, go ahead and kick it off with their offseason needs.
You look at the Panthers, running back for sure, as we talked about early in the show. Right now we haven't taken Leonard Fournette. Obviously, Dalvin Cook could be an option here as well. But secondary is really atrocious on this football team, and that's the area they got to get really better in. Front seven is still solid. You got to wonder how much time does Thomas Davis have left too. So you might want to start addressing that position as well. But the front four is still good. Their interior offensive line is still very good, even though they got banged up a little bit at that position. They still have to address the offensive tackle position too. That's something that they have to get fixed. So you're talking running back, you're talking offensive tackle. You might need to start looking at a younger linebacker on the outside to replace Thomas Davis. But you need every position in the secondary, all four of them.
Rob, but they drafted a lot of cornerbacks, so I don't know if they just kind of like growing pains with them, but you know, or getting more talent too. So that's something. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna keep going down that path, but I think they're just kind of like really young at that position.
Well, my thought process has always been: until you know for sure what you have, you got to keep drafting it. Maybe those guys will rise up to the occasion, but you don't have enough proof that they are going to be the answer just yet.
True, indeed. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I don't have much to add to that. He hit all the spots they have to have, and some combination through the draft they have to address it, and or of course through free agency. But yeah, Rob touched on it. Not much more to add to that.
We got 6 minutes here, so yeah, this is kind of interesting that the Bengals are up next. So JQ, here's a super fighter for you, man. You get the soapbox, bro.
They need everything. The thing about it is that they got depleted through free agency. You see everything that they've lost over the past couple of years. Their offensive line took a step back. They still don't really know if Hill or Geo is going to be the answer at running back. You know how I feel about Andy Dalton. I don't think he's the answer at quarterback. They got A.J. Green, and they got Tyler Eifert on the offense. Tyler Boyd showed flashes, but they have to address that. And then on the other side of the ball, they got to get somebody else to rush with Atkins and Dunlop. Dansby is about 45 years old. They got to get younger a linebacker, and they got to get better at the corner. You know, they still rely heavily on Pac-Man Jones, and that's everything you need to hear about the secondary of Cincinnati.
Smoke weed every day.
So I mean, they lost a lot. They, you know, they missed their window, and I truly believe they missed their window to be a really good team by being stupid, because they've lost so much. Now they have to hit. They're one of those teams that have to hit on 6 out of 7 draft picks. Those guys have to come in and play and start. Because nobody's taking Cincinnati free agency money either. They never have. They never will.
So it's interesting from, you know, since JQ is a passionate fan, Rob, so maybe you can help him out looking from the outside in. Rob, your thoughts about their offseason needs.
Hey, I've learned whenever you watch a team every week, there's no way in the world I'll be able to top JQ on what his team needs. So I'm going to let him have the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's true. Everything I just said is true. They need it on every level, on both sides, really.
Yeah, that's a good call, too. I mean, you know, you're still talking about quarterback. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get a quarterback. You want to draft with another quarterback, JQ, or just kind of like get free agency. I mean, you have to see how that plays out for sure.
They ain't going to do nothing. They're not going to do nothing because they believe in Andy Dalton. They believe in Andy Dalton. That's why. They're not going to do anything. They got A.J. sitting on the bench. I would let A.J. play. Don't get me started on them. They're not going to get a quarterback. I can go ahead and take that off the draft board. They believe that Andy Dalton can do it. So as long as they still believe that, then they're going to be mediocre.
Bro. We'll let J.K. guys move on. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills in your defense here. So, yeah, let's kick it off with that, J.K. Your thoughts on the Bills, man.
They also need a quarterback. I'm not so all the way on Tyrod Taylor being a pocket quarterback and doing what he needs to do. They got to get back just to being confident on defense. They've got good pieces on defense and everybody's applauding moving back to the 4-3 so they feel more comfortable and they feel like they'll play better. I just think they just need to get that, and they got to keep Sammy healthy, and I think they need another weapon outside of him. And Clay is so up and down tight ends, they may have to look there. But they got McCoy. They can get by with Tyrod. So if they don't hit on quarterback, they can get by with Tyrod. They're going to pay him a lot of money, but they can get by. Mm-hmm. But they got to hit those other pieces then a little bit in the secondary. But they're not bad on defense if they would get back to what they were doing a couple years ago, actually.
Yeah, Sean McDermott was a great hire. I'll let Rob finish it up, too. He was a great hire because, you know, if you just kind of play that ball control, maybe get a, you know, big running back to offset, you know, Shady McCoy, have a kind of a two-back system. And like you say, get a big-time weapon. That's a dangerous, dangerous team, man. Better coaching is going to help that team a lot. Rob, go ahead and give your thoughts on the Bills, and then we've got about 2 minutes. We'll get ready to wrap up the show, man. So go ahead, man.
Well, I think their biggest need is when you look at the defensive side of the ball, they still got to fix their secondary. And so that's where they've been really weak. And so they still have to fix that position. And then when you look at offensive side of the ball, you'd like to see them get a big playmaker on the perimeter for Tyrod Taylor. I think that's the one thing he really hasn't had since he's been a starting quarterback. So I would like – those are the main two things I would like to see the Bills get.
They got one, though. They have one, if you can stay healthy.
I see he's not staying healthy.
Sammy Watkins, but I still think they need some more help on the perimeter.
I agree.
Yeah, we're on the same page. All right, Rob, we got 2 minutes, man. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, man, because we're not going to get a chance to talk about other stuff about, you know, I don't know if Carmelo should be moved yet, man, but, you know, say that, man. I want to talk about that too, bro. So there you go. Wrap it up.
Next week, we back on Tuesday night, people, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to get you ready for the Super Bowl, even though we'll have 2 weeks to prepare you for it. So you definitely don't want to miss our show as we recap Championship Sunday on Tuesday night next week. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yes, sir. I tell you, you can't move somebody that has a no trade clause. So, I mean, you can say what you want to say about him, but he said, yeah, he ain't going nowhere. Yeah, appreciate you, good people, and holla at us next week. I appreciate the show, fellas, as always. Good stuff.
Are the Knicks still paying Allen Houston's contract, man? Are they still paying for his
Stop
contract,
it.
By the way?
Nah, that's over, bro.
Are you sure? I'm just asking the question, man. He had, like, the last time, him and Bobby Bonilla, man, New York team, man. They just keep playing, folks, man.
Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, Porzingis, and you're 18-24.
I don't know, man. That's a whole other conversation, bro. I don't know if that's just because of just the chemistry, man, because Carmelo, sometimes they look to play better. I don't know. It's a whole other conversation. Anyway, same time next channel, guys. See you guys next week.